in as the Great Commission. The words of the risen Jesus to disciples as found right at the very end of Matthew's Gospel. And there are three things, I think, for us to focus upon, particularly from these words of Jesus that we have just heard. First, throne. Jesus is King. Jesus is Sovereign Lord. In verse 18 we read, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Something new has happened. Jesus, in his teaching and ministry, announced God's kingdom coming on earth as in heaven. Through the cross and resurrection, Jesus has now inaugurated his kingdom, launched the kingdom, God's kingdom, on earth as in heaven. In Jesus Christ, God reasserts his sovereignty. God's reality, God's new kingdom, God's new creation has now broken in to their midst. And the Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, first fruits of this new creation, assures his disciples of his power and authority, his active reigning and saving rule. Surely nothing was outside the power and authority of him who on the cross conquered sin and death and all the powers of darkness. And if Jesus Christ is on the throne, Lord of heaven and earth, then it means that earthly rulers, the Caesars and Herods of this world, the tyrants and dictators, they do not have the ultimate power and authority, though they think they do. The Lord Jesus Christ declares, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And this power, this kingship, this authority is the authority of loving kindness. It is not, like so many rulers in the world today, a cold, hard, heavy authority, cynical power, brute force and violence, ruthless compulsion. St. Paul says, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." John's Gospel declares that Jesus, having always loved his people, he loved them right through to the end. The Bible commentator F.F. Bruce writes, "It is to him, because of his death on the cross, that world dominion belongs, not to the clenched fist, but to the pierced hand." Jesus Christ, not Caesar, any Caesar, then or since, is Lord of history. His is the throne, the power, and the glory. But such a different kind of king, a different way of doing power, of exercising authority. Not the self-interested love of power, but rather the power of divine love. And Jesus and the disciples and the early Christian church, they modeled a new and different way of being authentically human. So what does this mean for our lives, called to be citizens in this new kingdom, the kingdom of God that is now among us, on earth as in heaven? Well, it means that out of gratitude, we put our lives at his disposal, our time, our energy, our skills, our resources, all for Jesus. Each day there is one central question: what would the Lord Jesus have me do? C.S. Lewis writes, "Giving ourselves wholly to Christ is the only way to discover who we are, the only way to become who Christ means us to be, the only way to experience his riches in this life, and the only way to fulfill the purpose for which he made us." It may seem frightening, he says, but once you do it, Your only regret will be that you didn't do it sooner. So first the throne, and secondly the task. The risen Christ here gives his disciples a task, an assignment. Verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. As an eagle stirs up her nest and flutters over her young to excite them and to encourage them to fly, so Christ, as it were, stirs up his disciples to go out, go and make disciples of all nations. And notice that Jesus says to his disciples, therefore, go and make disciples. His task to his followers rests upon the fact that he is the risen, enthroned Messiah, the King, with power and authority in both heaven and on earth. He has a right to command. He has a right to ask this of his followers. Therefore, go and make disciples, says Jesus. Go. There's a traditional saying, an old saying, Jesus did not command the whole world to go to church. Rather, Jesus commanded his church to go to the whole world. There's a song by the Christian songwriter Ian White that contains words that have both encouraged and challenged me all through my ministry. A ship that's in the harbour is safe and free from harm, but it was not meant to be there. It was made for wind and storm. So following this Jesus means leaving our safe harbours, our comfort zones, so to speak, and going out to face the challenges and the adventures and the risks of Christian mission and Christian discipleship. There's a very old legend concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to heaven after his ascension. It's said that the angel Gabriel met him at the gates of the eternal city. Lord, this is a great salvation that you have accomplished, said the angel. But the Lord Jesus only said, yes. What plans have you made for carrying on the work? How are all men and women to know what you have done? Asked the angel Gabriel. I left Peter and James and John and Martha and Mary to tell their friends, and their friends to tell their friends, till all the world should know. But Lord, said the angel Gabriel, suppose Peter's too busy with his nets, or Martha with her housework, or the friends they tell are too occupied and forget to tell their friends, what then? The Lord Jesus did not answer at once. But then he said in his quiet, wonderful voice, I have not made any other plans. I am counting on them. So that is our task, our purpose, our commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. The gospel is not just what God does for us, but also through us. We are called to be agents of his kingdom. The Spirit is given to us that the Spirit might work through us. All Christians are witnesses to Christ, one way or another. And Christian witness to others is not only words, important as that is. I'd expect a minister to say that. Words are important, but even more important are actions and deeds. Acts of kindness and consideration. A spirit of generosity. A listening ear and an understanding heart. Standing up for what is true and right, actions as well as words. I was reading recently an interview with an archbishop of the Coptic Orthodox Christian Church, and he was asked, how easy is it for Christians in Middle Eastern countries to share their faith with those around them? And he replied, incredibly easy, but not in the way you may be alluding to. We do outreach differently. We don't stand in a street corner and say, hallelujah. You can't do that in Egypt or Iraq or Libya. But what you do is spread the love of God through your own life, and you reflect that light, that hope, and that love. The words of Archbishop Angelos. So we witness to Christ, we present Christ to others by what we do as well as what we say, both words and actions. So that is the task given to his followers by the risen Lord. Go and make disciples of all nations. When God wants anything done, he works through human beings, ordinary human beings, ordinary men and women. Nor shall your spreading gospel rest till through the world your truth has run, till Christ has all the nations blessed that see the light or feel the sun. So first the throne, secondly the task, and thirdly, the truth. Can we just pause and think for a moment and try to imagine what these 11 disciples must have felt? Here they are, on a mountain in Galilee, really at the edge of the mighty Roman Empire, just so few of them, and Jesus telling them, go, make disciples of all nations. An impossible task, it must have seemed. How inadequate they must have felt. So Jesus assures them of a vital truth for them, and also thankfully for us. Jesus declares, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The little old Greek is, I am with you all the days. The greatest of tasks is accompanied by the greatest of truth. Surely I am with you always. Jesus Christ promises to be with us, alongside us, on the journey of life and pilgrimage of faith. And with us in the midst of the tasks we are called to accomplish in his name. As individual Christians called to our own particular ministries, and as a church family together, the body of Christ in this community, in this city. So with us in the midst of the tasks we are called to accomplish in his name. With us on Sundays and weekdays, on fair days and dull days, on winter days and summer days, on days of music and days of mist. I am with you always, says our Lord. I am with you to help you with difficulties, to bear you up, to give you strength, to guide you aright. I am with you to make your work and your witness effective as you reach out to others in my name. So to draw this together, to sum up, the throne, the authority of Jesus as sovereign King and Lord on earth as in heaven, and the task, our purpose, go and make disciples of all nations. We are called to be witnesses as well as worshippers. And the truth, the wonderful truth, the truth for all time. I am with you, says Jesus, always to the very end of the age. And to God alone be the glory. Let us pray. and a moment of silent prayer and reflection. Almighty God, you have called your church to share in your mission to the whole world. Give to us and to all your people such belief in the gospel and such faithfulness in service and in outreach that the life of mankind may be renewed in the knowledge and love of your Son in this day and generation through Jesus Christ, our crucified Lord and ever-living King. Amen.